Bibles in your inserts available, or you want to grab the Pew Bible, I invite you to do that at this time. We're going to be spending several weeks looking at the candles of Advent. We don't typically do that specifically here at our church, but this series caught my attention, and I want to share that with you. And the first candle that we're going to be looking at in our series is the prophet's candle, which represents hope. The Old Testament prophets, as was kind of alluded to there with Eric and Asher, they looked forward with hope. They really did. They watched and they waited, and then they wondered. And as you think about the concept of the word hope, and in our culture today, hope is expressed in many different ways, different phrases, different ways that it's used. Sometimes we hear the word hopeless. And that is the condition or feeling that there is no promise to look forward to. I think promise is a key part of the word hope. And so when people say things are hopeless, they're often saying, we don't really have anything to look forward to, no promise on the horizon. And then sometimes you'll hear the phrase hope lost. And that's when something is promised and not delivered or sustained. Somebody has promised something and they don't come through, or something is promised and it's there for a short period of time and then it doesn't last. And this is really quite evident at Christmas time, because parents that are in here, you have children or older children or even spouses that are hoping for something in particular at Christmas, and so to them maybe Christmas morning that particular thing is, they thought it was going to appear and it doesn't, and then that just happens. So you have hope lost. And then you have the phrase hope so, and that's the promise that's contingent on someone else doing something that they may or may not do, or may or may not happen. People say, I hope so, I hope this is going to happen, I hope this is a reality in my life. So you have different kinds of ways that hope is expressed. But the prophet's candle reminds us of another kind of hope. Christmas itself is really set on the stage of hope. I want to give you a definition of what I consider to be Christmas hope. Here it is. Christmas hope is the confident assurance in the promises made by God through the prophets regarding the coming of Christ. So when we're talking about Christmas hope, we're not talking about something that's hopeless or hope that would be lost or a hope-so kind of thing. It really is a confident assurance in the promises made by God through the prophets that are introduced to us by the prophets and their writings and represented by the prophet's candle of hope this morning. And why would we start with the prophet's candle? Well, because the messianic prophecies that these prophets wrote about and speak about in Scripture are important for several reasons. Let me just give you a couple of these reasons. You can need to think about them. They're not going to be on the screen. If you want to write them down, you can. But here's some reasons why these messianic prophecies are so important. First of all, they remind us that God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. This is why we open God's Word each week, because God keeps His promises. There are other religions and other groups where they can't really make that claim, or things kind of go back and forth, or it all depends on your effort, not somebody else's effort. And in our case, we rest in the comfort and confidence that God keeps His promises, and we know that because of the prophecies. Because if one prophecy doesn't get fulfilled, then God is a liar. And the rest of the promises are in jeopardy. So it's important that we look at the prophecies. Also, the prophecies remind us that God's Word is reliable and authoritative. We can rely on God's Word because of the prophecies being fulfilled. And not only the prophecies of old, but also the prophecies fulfilled in Christ's birth and the prophecies that will be fulfilled. They teach us that God's Word is reliable. And that is also very important for us this time of year. My microphone's bothering me here. In my office, I have a copy of the Book of Mormon on my shelf. In my 13 years here, I think I've had it on my shelf most of the time. I can tell you how often I've opened that Book of Mormon. Never. Now, I have looked at it in other places, and the reason why I don't open it is because it's based on false teaching, false writings that are not backed up by the author or by the people who contributed to it in any way, shape, or form. You can't trust it. It does claim to be another gospel. If you actually look at it, it's another testament, it says. No, it's a wrong option. And part of it is because the prophecies that are made, Some of them didn't come true. And all it takes is just one not to come true. You can't trust it. Not only is it reminding us that God's word is reliable and authoritative, but also the prophecies remind us of this, that waiting for God to fulfill a promise is not a waste of your time. That's not easy. But there are some things we're still waiting for, and it's not a waste of your time. Because the prophets, they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and then some of them died, and they're still waiting. But it wasn't a waste of time. And finally, the messianic prophecies are important because they set in motion for us, at least this morning, the four promises of Christmas hope. I think there are four promises that are related to the prophet's candle, four promises about the hope that they wrote about that are related to Christmas. Here's the first one. Hope is coming. Hope is coming. I know that seems like the obvious one, but that's where we have to start when you're talking about the prophets. They alluded to the fact that hope is coming. I want to give you a head start before I give you an introduction here. I want you to find the book of Micah in the Old Testament, if you would. I did write some pew Bible numbers on your insert, but if you could turn to the book of Micah, I'll get to that verse in just a moment, but turn to Micah chapter 5. But I want to just introduce hope is coming in this way. If you were to ask someone at work or a family member or even a neighbor, you know, just a friend, when did the Christmas story start? Most of them would say, when Jesus was born. A church person might even take you to Matthew 1 or Luke 2 and show you the opening pages of the book. But I would submit to you that the Christmas story started much earlier than that. Really did. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, here's what the prophet writes. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. So Micah gives us some details about the hope that is coming. Then a few books over, if you turn to the book of Isaiah, another ancient prophet, Isaiah chapter 7. So we look again about the concept that hope is coming. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. One of the more famous prophecies that we hear at Christmas time, the prophet writes this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Lots of things in that verse, but if I could summarize that verse, here's how I'd summarize it for you. Hope is coming. Then chapter 9 of that same book, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, a lot of information, but if I could summarize, then here's what it would be. Hope is coming. The prophet's candle reminds us of the fact that hope is coming. And listen to this, 700 years before Herod's jealousy, the shepherd's surprise, the angel's song, or the wise men's gifts, these ancient prophets, Micah and Isaiah, announced to us in wonderful and remarkable fashion that hope is coming. Hope is coming. And I can't help but imagine that as they received this message from God, that their hearts kind of skipped a beat and their scroll hand was quivering just a little bit. You know, where they write with, it's like, well, what's happening here? Because they're writing down the prediction that hope is coming. And they predict the process, the person, the place, and the purpose in great detail. And it has to start someplace, folks. And it's a good reminder for us that years ago, these prophets heralded the announcement that hope is coming. But as we move with this concept of hope, here's something I want you to think about. Anybody in this room, no matter what your age, could make a promise of hope for the future. Any of you could just write something down or make it up. I hope in 20 years we all can fly. Great. I didn't ask anybody for responses to that because I'm sure I'd get some of those kind of things. But any of you in this room could make comments about hope, predictions about hope, promises about hope. And I want to tell you that the promise that Jesus, that the hope is coming, really is kind of hollow if the ink dries on the scroll without the possibility of reality. It's one thing to announce that hope is coming, but is there more? And the prophets continue, and the idea that hope is coming is just the beginning, because the Bible reveals the second promise of hope. Not only that hope is coming, but that hope has come. Hope has come. I hope you're excited about that. I hope that encourages you, because here's one of the dangers of the culture that we live in the United States. Christmas time is a time that churches celebrate, we decorate, we sing, we do different things, but it's also a really chaotic time, is it not? Some of you get super stressed. Super stressed. Some of you go to stores and you just become a different person. You're so worried about what you're going to spend. And some of you try to avoid all of that, and you go online and you think you ordered it right and you think you got the right size. And then you get that follow-up email that says it's not coming till January 5th. And you think the picture you give them at Christmas is going to suffice. And you have all these things. You've got parties, you've got food, you've got these different things. People are driving like crazy. You can't even go to the grocery store without just huge lines. And you're like, bah, humbug. But let's not forget, hope has come. That should give us a different perspective out there. It really should. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as we look at the idea of hope has come. And as we look at these verses, I want you to notice that in many of these texts we're going to look at, and I encourage you to look at them in your own Bible as well, you're going to see over and over again the word promise or promised on purpose, because hope, the hope of Christmas, is tied to promises. Because remember, hopelessness is there's no promise. Okay, hope so is maybe someone will follow through on the promise, but I have to rely on them. And then you have this whole idea of hope not even really being a reality at this point, or maybe it is on the horizon. We're not really sure what's going on, or hope is lost. Somebody hope promised something to you and they didn't follow through. That's so different with Christmas. Luke chapter 2, starting verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Look at this, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised." Up to that point in Simeon's life, all he could say was, hope is coming. Now he can say, hope has come. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. That's just a nice, fancy, and softer way of saying, I can die now. I can die now. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The prophets announced the coming, and then we read that Jesus Christ has come. Hope has come. And this is critical because, according to Old Testament law, if someone is going to fulfill a prophecy, they would have to fulfill it 100% of the time, or it's a no-go. So Jesus Christ had to fulfill every prophecy about himself being the Messiah, including his birth. And when those things took place, it was just God's affirmation that hope has come. Because if one's not fulfilled, Jesus is a hoax. But we, as the church, we need to celebrate that hope has come. And I'm trying to make this practical for you, because some of you have heard this story for many, many years, but yet you still will go out and you'll spend time shopping or with family or things at work, and you're just not very hopeful. I mean, the greatest thing you're worried about when you go to work is you're hoping to get a raise. I understand that. But how about when you go to work, it doesn't matter if you get a raise or not, because hope has come. That makes a difference in your life. When the other people around you are stressing out, freaking out, maxing out, and they're like, why are you different? Well, it's a great time of the year. Well, what do you mean it's a great time of the year? Yeah, hope has come. The Apostle Paul celebrated that hope had come. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Paul celebrated that hope had come. Let me give you a background for this particular verse. Acts chapter 13. We'll go look at verse 23 in a moment. Let me give you the background. The Apostle Paul has come to faith in Jesus Christ. He's encountered Jesus Christ as his hope for salvation. Jesus is gone now. He is resurrected and ascended back into heaven. And now Paul is a follower of Jesus Christ. And typically when Paul would go from town to town, he would go into the synagogues and he would teach them. Teach them about the Old Testament scriptures and also about his experience with Christ. And in this particular section of Hebrews, it's really interesting. He gives them a Jewish history lesson and brings them up to speed. And then he talks about David, the line of David, and who would come from the line of David. And in verse 23, this is what he says. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, as he, what? Promised. So these aren't just words that I'm saying or words that are on a page. The Apostle Paul said, not only is Christ coming, not only is hope coming, it has come through Jesus Christ, just as God has promised. That is the reason why we celebrate. Hope has come. A few chapters later in Acts 26, I want you to turn there. Seeing again in the life of the Apostle Paul. Background for this, Acts 26. Paul is on trial before a guy named Agrippa. In those days, when you were on trial religiously, if it went bad, a couple things could happen. One, you could be in prison for a long time. The second thing is, you exited by having your head removed. That was a possibility. So if you were the person standing in front of the judge and you're stating your case to maybe save your neck, you would choose your words carefully, wouldn't you? Your presentation would be clear and hopefully persuasive to this guy who is not shown any affinity to Christianity. But listen to what Paul says to Agrippa. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. I don't want you to miss this. Here's what gave Paul the boldness to stand before Agrippa. Hope has come. Hope has come. Agrippa, I know you probably don't want to hear this. You don't agree with it. And you might get mad at me. But the reason I'm on trial is not because of these other things they're saying about me. I'm on trial because I believe the hope that the ancestors, the prophets said was coming, has come, and I've put my faith in that hope. Hope has come. That is really powerful. That's a reason to encourage us today. The Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, starts like this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Then it goes on to say, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We sing that and we don't really realize what it's saying. The hopes and fears of all the years, all the things the prophets were looking forward to, are met in thee tonight. Hope has come. Jesus Christ is the hope that has come. At this point, as I was studying and thinking about the promises of Christmas hope and the prophet's candle, I will say to you there was a dilemma that came into my mind and into my heart. Because I understand the concept that hope is coming and that hope has come, but here's my dilemma. All of these events, and even the events of Christmas as we would call it, they seem to be ancient history. They happened a long time ago. And that's a dilemma for me, and I think it's a dilemma for some people because it happened a long time ago. And I don't know what a long time ago means to you. When I think about college, for me, that was a long time ago. Over 30 years. When I tell soccer players that I graduated from college in the 80s, their eyes just kind of glass over. 80s? And, you know, and they make remarks like, was there, you know, color back then? Was it all black and white? I'm sure you had hair. All those kind of things. So some in your room, like if you were to think about high school, some of you think about high school, that's a long time ago. Wow. And maybe for the younger people in the room, high school is right now and college is in the future, that's not a long time ago. But what about things like World War I? That's a long time ago, isn't it? Really? And the place where Pam's mom is staying, Fairport Baptist Home, she's had the opportunity, her mom, and we have meet some of the residents that live there. And there's one lady named Chris who's going to be 104 this month. When I do my math, she was born in 1914. That's a long time ago. Is it not? Come on, folks. That's a long time ago. Any footage you find from 1914 is going to be black and white. That's World War I. And as far as I can tell, that's before World War II. So that's a long time ago. We just got done celebrating Thanksgiving, and we remember the pilgrims, right? 1600s? Is that a long time ago? Yes. So here's the dilemma. The dilemma is we talk about that the hope has come, and that the hope, you know, the prophets say the hope is coming, and then hope has come. 2,700 years ago is when they wrote about Christ coming. That's a long time ago. 2,000 years ago plus is when the light came, when the hope came. And so the dilemma is, do we relegate this thing to something of the past that has no impact on us today? Sometimes it's hard to celebrate something that happened 2,000 years ago, if we're honest. When we drive in for church on Sunday mornings, I often have Pam drive so I can look over my notes. And as we were driving in this morning on 104, something caught my eye. It was an inflatable Santa. They usually catch my eye because I'm plotting about when I can go back and deflate them. And if you have one in your yard, just pray that I don't drive by your house, because I won't have any problems with that. But as I went by this inflatable Santa, it had an LED sign right here. And it said 23 days to Christmas. We can handle that. 2,000 years ago. Somebody helped me out after the first service with the math. It's well over 200,000 days. Now, it's past, but that's a little bit of a dilemma. It's 200,000 days ago that happened. Christ came, hope came. So is it really important for us today? Well, yes, because the prophet's candle of hope is not just that it's coming and it's come. Here's the next part. Hope still exists today. You may say, Pastor Dave, that is so simple. We know this. You didn't really need to say it. I think we do, because it impacts us and other people. I believe that during Christmas time, and it starts earlier every year in our stores, does it not? Starts earlier in the elevator, earlier on the radio stations. But I'm just saying that right now in our culture, you can turn to radio stations that before November and after December 25th will play songs that some of you don't want to listen to because you don't like the lyrics, but now they're just blitzing with Christmas songs. And a lot of these songs are songs that say things like, Christ has come, right? They're playing all this and all the stores and everything. I'm here to submit to you that most of the people that listen to those and the stores that play them, they have no sense of a present-day reality of that. They're just talking about, hey, we can play it because, you know, it happened 2,000 years ago. It may bother some people, but we'll get over it. I'm here to tell you the hope of Christmas is not just that he is coming, he has come, but that hope still exists today. Hebrews chapter 6. You don't often turn there in your Bibles, at least here at our church, because we haven't been in Hebrews in a long time. But Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to find this passage and listen to the words of this author. as it relates to hope still exists. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 17. Hope is coming, hope has come, but hope still exists. Here's what he writes. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which is it impossible for God to lie, the two things are the promise and the oath, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Here's the thing about hope still exists. Two things. First of all, the hope still saves people today. If you're here and you've never embraced the hope of Christmas, you've only embraced it as a past event or a kind of a some kind of a celebration, but also annoying holiday that you have to get through. If it's just that, I want to encourage you to turn your attention to the hope that still exists through Jesus Christ. I believe that the words that the prophets wrote down 2,700 years ago still write stories of hope today in people's lives. And that is a personal decision that you have to make, that you're going to place your faith in Jesus Christ as the hope that still exists today. Because people, listen, you know this, people are looking for hope in lots of other things. You watch the news and you see people that are feeling hopeless. And you watch things that take place and you see people that say that they've lost their hope or people that have a hope-so kind of mentality. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has come to give us hope that still exists because of what he did for us. So placing your faith in Jesus Christ is the first place to start. And look what it says in this passage if you have your Bibles open. He says, God did this by two unchangeable things. He makes the promise, and he also gives an oath. That means he keeps his word. The promise is, I offer you a confident and sure hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And it says, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Which means, if you have done this, that phrase, grab hold of the hope, is reference to a city of refuge, a castle, a fortress, that when you place your faith in Christ, you're in a secure place, no matter what's happening. And he goes on to say, we have this hope as an anchor. That means you're not gonna be torn and wavering around without any hope because of the anchor of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. And it still exists. And wouldn't it be interesting? I try to give you things every once in a while to maybe get you in a little trouble. Maybe you're at a store shopping or at work and a Christmas song comes on and maybe you start singing along with it and maybe a coworker or someone at the store just says, oh, yeah, what do you think about Christmas? And, well, it's when Christ was born. Yeah, what do you think about that? Well, you know what? It happened a long time ago, but it's still powerful today. Hope still exists today. You say that to them, they're going to do a double take. What do you mean? What do you mean it's still powerful today? Oh, yeah, Christ still works in people's lives today. That was just the beginning. You may even have a conversation with them. That's up to you. That's really up to you. Listen to the words of this hymn. O God, our help in ages past, but also our hope for years to come. Hope still exists today. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference for the gospel, and it should make a difference in our lives, that you wake up with hope. So hope is coming, hope has come, hope still exists. The prophet's candle points us to one more. Hope is unfinished. It's unfinished. At first hearing, you may go, Pastor Dave, that doesn't sound right. You mean there's stuff that's not finished? Yes. Now the gospel is finished, but the hope that the prophets wrote about is unfinished. Let me read for you a couple verses from Hebrews again. You don't need to turn there, but here's the background. Background is so important when you read verses. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. It talks about Moses and Noah and Joseph, all these people that were commended for their great faith. And we love this chapter because like, oh, I wish I could be like them. They're great people, heroes of the faith. You with me? So Hebrews 11 is all about these great heroes of faith that God exalts through the writing of Hebrews 11. But then in verse 39, it says this. These heroes of faith were all commended for their faith. Yay, way to go. Yet, none of them received what had been promised. Psst. That was the air going out of the balloon, like, yay, but they don't have the promise. Oh, that's a bummer. Since God had planned something better for us. Wow, those are three words you might want to underline in your Bible. Better for us. So that only together with us would they be made perfect. They're not left out, but he's saying the hope that they believed in, the hope that we believe in, is not yet finished. There's something better coming. Better than the long lines and the frustrating shopping list and the person that's impossible to buy for and just the craziness of the drivers. There's more to come than just this. Aren't you thankful? There's more than that. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this, but in keeping with his, here's that word again, promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth where righteousness dwells. Two things to notice in that verse. The prophets talk about a future new heaven and new earth that begins with the hope of Christmas, and we're looking forward to that. But it also says where righteousness dwells. Does righteousness dwell here on earth right now? Let's be honest. Righteousness dwell? For the most part, has Jesus been set up on a throne on this earth and called Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful God? Are those things? No. I mean, individuals are doing that, churches. But on a grand scale, is that happening? Is he the ruler of Israel right now? Not really in practicality. So the prophets said that hope is coming. Hope has come. Hope still exists. But then hope is unfinished because one day that will be restored. You put all those things together. You put all those things together. And when you get up tomorrow and you're entering into the holiday season, let's do it a little bit better. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to see you with your head down talking to yourself. Why? Because you have hope. And it's hope that's not just based in the past, but it started back then. It's not just hope that has come, but hope that still exists, and hope that is unfinished. And it all started with the prophets. For unto us is born. I'm going to invite worship team members to come up, and Rex as well is going to close us in prayer. Let me just give you these final thoughts. The prophet's candle of hope reminds us of these things. Here they are. God made a promise. He kept his promise. He still offers his promise. And he will complete his promise. That's the candle of hope. Why don't you stand together in prayer, and then we're going to close with a song.
All right, let's pray together. Father, this Christmas season, we're going to be associating with people who are still looking to place their hope in someone or something. And we have the answer. We who are your children, Lord, we have been told that hope has come. And that hope is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us this week in our dealings with others, Lord, as we listen in on conversations and have conversations with others and sense that longing for the hope that they want to have in their own lives. Lord, that you would give us the courage, the boldness to share our story and to say, I have found that hope in my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time together today, Lord, and the opportunity to celebrate both what you have done and what you have promised to do for us in the future. As we leave today, Lord, help us just to be reminded of these truths, these promises, and to live in light of them this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God evermore. Through the silence, Christ. Christ the Savior is born. Jesus, the love song of God. Jesus, the love song of God.
We're going to keep singing and go this week with the hope. You are dismissed.
Glory to God in the highest, glory to God evermore. Good news, great joy for all. Melody breaks through the silence, Christ the Savior is born. Jesus, the love song of God. Jesus, the love song of God. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold.